If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
What regulations or legal actions by Congress or by administrative action do you think would have the most consequence or be feared most by Facebook, Instagram, or allied companies?
I strongly encourage reforming Section 230 to exempt decisions about algorithms, right? So modifying 230 around content, I think, has it's very complicated because user-generated content is something that companies have less control over. They have 100% control over their algorithms.
So this is the ongoing Facebook hearing, and that was the, I don't know if I want to call her a whistleblower, that was the so-called whistleblower. Welcome to the show, I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com is the website. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. So some of the things to get into today, first off, the ongoing discussion, the testimony there from this employee of Facebook. I just want to caution everybody, and I've said this a million times before, the right is being completely baited into allowing and supporting a federal takeover of digital spaces. But unfortunately, there are some people in the right conservative Republican commentary class who are too busy clout chasing and enjoying backpats from acting like smartasses to think critically and see the bigger picture. And as somebody who has been shadow banned, who has been throttled, who has been routinely demonetized, let me say that there is a way to combat the use of corporations as agents of states, but giving the federal government the reins to do it is not it. And I swear to high heaven that conservatives will rue the day. Mark my word, they will rue the day that they give the federal government control over this. I promise you. And nothing that I've ever said has ever been incorrect. So that's how we're going to start today off, because I'm so tired of people who know. I mean, it's not a good day. I'll explain why later. But I have to say, I am so tired of seeing people in the commentary class, people whose extent of knowledge with digital is but from turning a computer on, try to lecture to everyone else about what they think that the government should or should not do and how the federal government needs to take this over. So you're arguing about corporations as agents of states, but yet you want the federal government to take on this and make it a de facto agent of the state. That's how I'm to understand it. And please know, I do think that some in the commentary class on the right are clout chasing smartasses whose thoughts are miles wide and inches deep. And I hold those people responsible if this public square becomes taken over federally. And I will burn them on a pyre digitally if that happens, along with all the other bridges in my wake. So that is that's the latest with this, because I hope my words are harsh, and I hope it does wake people up, because it should. It absolutely should. It should absolutely wake people up. Now, one of the other things that we're going to talk about also is the ongoing takeover and the increase of really threats, etc., that you see from the left. So just in the last week, progressives, they followed Kristen Sinema into a bathroom. They harassed her while she was on the plane. They waited for her and ambushed her when she was at the airport. They made fun of her appearance and her looks on Twitter, a friend of mine noted, and they were making all kinds of threats against her. Banner week, my friend said, for me too, which is true. I completely agree. I wrote about this on my newsletter last night, which I'm not, look, if you want all this information, you can go get it. It's the best research show on radio. It's the only, I think I'm the only person on air that actually researches all the show. And you're going to want to go and see what we're talking about, because I sent this out yesterday, and including, by the way, you got the video. I'm sure y'all saw in that email. Did y'all see the video of the woman who was harassing Sinema on a plane? That's apparently that was the woman who was also in the video in the bathroom. That's how it was reported. But then there was a woman who was harassing her on a plane as well, which is just ridiculous. And then yesterday we had Joe Biden, who we played that audio as it happened yesterday, because we came on air right after he spoke, and he was saying, "Oh, well, it happens to anybody." And they called on Jen Psaki. So Jen Psaki, when she was doing the White House press briefing, audio soundbite 10, she was, or not, this is not 10. This is, I guess we don't, okay, cut one, yes. So she was cleaning up Biden's, trying to clean up Biden's comments on this, because they were ridiculous. And so this is what she said when she was asked by Peter Ducey. Listen.
"The protection of the freedom to protest, to speak out, and to criticize is fundamental to our democracy. The president believes that. Maybe he shorthanded it, but he wanted to make that clear this morning. What happened this weekend was that her classroom, her students, and the safe and intellectually stimulating environment she's worked to create during the years she's teaching at ASU was breached. That's inappropriate and unacceptable. And I think the context of what happened here is important, despite the fact that, of course, we stand for, the president stands for, the fundamental right of people to protest, to object, to criticize, as they often do outside of the gates of the White House."
So does the White House condemn these protesters who chased her into the room?
"I just said it was inappropriate and unacceptable. I think that pretty much
not to do that again.
I think that's pretty clear that they shouldn't breach the classroom and make the students feel like their privacy, their intellectually stimulating classroom, and their time as students in college is being broached."
Yeah, so there you have it. She couldn't be prevailed upon to condemn it. Couldn't be prevailed upon to condemn it or not. That's what's insane. We're going to talk more about this. I just have a number of things to discuss. The other big thing, and this is, so I really feel like our culture right now is in a Cold War. It's not hot yet, but we are in a Cold War. And I say this because of what the latest that came out from the Attorney General last night. The Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's a stooge, and I'm so glad that he never, ever, ever made it to the Supreme Court, because he's unfit for the seat. And I gloat and I revel in that. I'm not, by the way, just sidebar, we're so you know, we're having a bad day with Louie, so my mood is going to reflect that entirely, because I think that dogs are better than most people. Honestly, I do. I don't care if it's bad to say it. I feel like that scene from Joker when he's talking to Robert De Niro, and I'm tired of pretending that it's not. That's me right now. So you'll understand why it's reflected in this remark here. So Attorney General Merrick Garland, I'm glad that he never made it through the confirmation hearing and never made it to the Supreme Court. He's a charlatan, and I'm not going to pretend that he's not. So Merrick Garland, he instructed the FBI to mobilize against parents who oppose critical race theory in public schools, citing vague threats. This is the same thing. They're trying to January 6th parents at school boards. So the National School Board Association begged the Biden administration to go after the parents, because parents started fighting back and they started winning school board seats and they started taking over. I didn't see it. The only thing that I ever saw was some heated rhetoric and yelling from parents that were in Tennessee. And you know what? The most dangerous place in the world for you to be is between a parent and their child. F-A-F-O. Don't want nothing, don't start nothing. Do not expect me to demonstrate any kind of courteousness or grace on this, because I'm not. Grace is now morphed into, as a friend of mine notes, indignation, and it is proper. Because you're teaching, it's an emotional abuse of children. Some of the stuff that I've seen presented in these schools are outright abusive. Absolutely abusive. If this was done by a parent to a child, Division of Family Services would be called. It's abusive garbage that's masquerading as education when it's not systemic Marxist racism. So the attorney general now wants to instruct the FBI, who couldn't find Larry Nassar when a whole team of Olympic gymnasts were in their offices begging them and showing evidence, to act. The same FBI that can't find Brian Laundrie. So you got Dog the Bounty Hunter out there doing, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and nuance my words. I'm done. If you have not spoken up, you're part of the problem. I don't care what department you're in. If you haven't spoken up, if you haven't objected because you value your little luxuries in life more so than you value the integrity of a republic that's the last beacon in the world, go to hell. So Attorney General Merrick Garland he instructed the FBI to mobilize against parents who oppose critical race theory in schools, citing vague threats. And the letter, because the National School Board Association, and which is ridiculous, the National School Board Association's request to classify protests as domestic terrorism. So, yeah. They're gonna bring the full weight. I saw Parents Defending Education, who've done a stellar job in writing on this. They're bringing the full weight of the intelligence agencies and everybody that they can get. So I was reading the letter that verbal typo and it stays. They say, citing an increase in harassment, intimidation, and threats, name them. That's just vague garbage. Name them. Nobody at all whatsoever, at all believes this. What are you talking? The only threats that I was aware of is a faculty member in Tennessee that sent a dog muzzle to herself on Amazon. And when she went to the press and said that someone sent this to her because she supported vaccine mandate for schools and mask mandate for schools, and they investigated it, they found out that the broad sent it to herself through Amazon. And she was like, oh, no, somebody just, I guess, hacked me. You mean they hacked your credit card and they got into your Amazon account and the only thing that they sent was a dog muzzle to them, to you? No one believes you. Sit down, Karen. So that's the only threat that I ever saw. So that's, and that I should note, and that's, well, that was a Tennessee vaccine chief. And this was an individual that had, and this was reported everywhere, sent it to themselves, which is crazy. But this letter that they sent out, they say, oh, we take incidents seriously. There's what incidents? What incidents are you talking about? The only harassment and threats and I've seen have been from school boards in the state to parents. Like in my town. Oh, you guys are familiar with this. I've talked about this 6 ways to Sunday, and I'm going to talk about it a little more. You want to have discussion about threats? You want to talk about threats against parents by school board members in schools? Why don't you come to my town here in Texas? Because you can see it firsthand. Why don't you come and take a look at what the school board in our town did? Amazing with this, too, is that they violated the law. What about when the school board violates the law, like in my school district? And then when they started smearing parents by name using their brand new media contacts that they coincidentally got right after they hired a fancy PR firm paid by taxpayers. What about that? What about their surrogates bullying and harassing families and students throughout the town? If you want to have a discussion about threats, this is the same FBI that can't find actual domestic terrorists. This is the same attorney general that had nothing to say about Antifa. This is the same attorney general that had nothing to say about BLM. This is the same attorney general that had nothing to say about the years and years and years prior to this of all of the violence and the damage, etc., etc., etc. And for all the people who are out there filleting the idea of January 6th, where you had a bunch of unarmed people who even the inspectors themselves said broke away from a largely peaceful protest and then went out and engaged in criminal activity for which they are paying 7,000 times more than anyone ever in Antifa or BLM. Let's have a conversation. Yeah, January 6th, where the conservatives, unlike their Marxist counterparts, they actually held those people to account. But nothing ever happened to Antifa or BLM. Nothing ever happened to those individuals. Nothing ever. You know what? It's the same Democrats over and over again. And the people who are so mad about January 6th have had nothing to say about Democrats that bombed the Capitol in 1971. Actually bombed the Capitol. Bombed it. Democrats. And that was before Democrats shot up a congressional ball field. Sit down. We got a lot more on the way. You don't want to miss any part of the show, as usual. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. And the grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. Now you can take just 2 chews a day. They taste like chewy Starburst. They're delicious. Anytime, anywhere to get the blood pressure support that you want. And if you love Super Beats Heart Chews, you'll love their all new delicious vitamin D3 chews. Now, vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot for its ability to support immune health. And Humanin's all-new vitamin D3 chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health year-round. And now, you can get a free bag of vitamin D3 chews and a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you buy 2 bags of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. That's a free bag of the vitamin D3 chews and heart chews with your order of 2 bags of heart chews. Visit danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, an interesting story. A Harvard researcher finds that there is, and I hate, by the way, Apple's new update with the Safari. I want to punch it in the throat. Harvard discovers that there is no correlation between vaccination rates and coronavirus cases globally. And this is something that I see that's has been promoted over and over again as somehow being entirely related. But they said that through three quarters of this year, a Harvard researcher could not find any correlation between vaccination rates and coronavirus case rates after examining 68 countries and 2,947 counties in the United States. At the country level, there appears to be no discernible relationship between the percentage of population fully vaccinated and new coronavirus cases in the last 7 days, according to authors in a study published in the European Journal of Epidemiology. They say, in fact, the trend line suggests a marginally positive association that countries that have a higher percentage of a population that's fully vaccinated have a higher case than coronavirus cases per 1 million people. So it's kind of an interesting, because I always feel like we find these studies come out and then they end up proving exactly the opposite of what, you know, of what the narrative is. A child left on the side of the road after a thief steals a Lexus in Manchester. There is a suspect. The search is on, but a thief stole a car with a baby inside. And they said it was a gray Lexus taken on Monday. So I'm like looking at, you know, it was a 1-year-old boy. The child is safe, thankfully. But I'm always like, look, I understand parents want to run into the gas station and all of that. And you don't want to. I've had kids sleeping in the car. I get it. I've had kids. You got to be super careful. And this wasn't at a gas station, though. It was in a parking lot. And I'm not quite sure exactly why the child was left in the car. No fault on the parent. You shouldn't have creeps out there. They're going to steal people's cars with babies in them. So we have a lot more on the way. And we're going to look at this. The federal government's declared war on parents. Stick with us.
If you love steak and barbecue like I do, you've got to try these wines from the extreme altitudes of Argentina. I'm talking about some of the most remote vineyards known to men. Deep in the Andes Mountains. They're unlike any other wine you've had before. They taste rugged like the land itself. Blackberry, leather, smoke, dark cherry. Up until now, you'd have to travel thousands of miles just to get your hands on a single bottle. So you'll be one of the first Americans to ever taste them. Our friends over at Bonner Private Wines nearly died trying to find some of these remote vineyards. They're that special. Want to give them a try? Visit conservativewines.com. Today, the guys at Bonner Private Wines are giving my listeners 50% off of these special wines, plus 50% off of the shipping. No need for a promo code. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Officials being threatened where they haven't happened in the context of members of Congress being threatened, which the FBI responds to on a regular basis, as is appropriate. The job of the Justice Department is to address criminal conduct.
You know, all I can say is this is truly extraordinary. I think you know it is. It's unprecedented. You can't point to a single instance where anything like this has happened before. And I think parents across this country are going to be stunned to learn, stunned, that if they show up at a local school board meeting, by the way, where they have the right to appear and be heard, where they have the right to say something about their children's education, where they have the right to vote, and you are attempting to intimidate them, you are attempting to silence them, you are attempting to interfere with their rights as parents, and yes, with their rights as voters. This is wrong, this is dangerous, and I cannot believe that an Attorney General of the United States is engaging in this kind of conduct. And frankly, I can't believe that you are sitting here today defending it. I intend to get answers to these questions. You won't answer my questions. I'm going to get answers to these questions. Mr. Chairman, we need to have a hearing on this subject. We need to hear from the Attorney General himself. He needs to come here, take the oath, sit there, and answer questions. We have never seen anything like this before in our country's history. And frankly, I want to say, I think it is a dangerous, dangerous precedent.
That's Senator Josh Hawley. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Welcome to the program. Yes, it's an incredibly dangerous precedent. There's been a lot of these dangerous precedents, which we're going to talk about. But now I hope that some of the people that are on the right who were complaining about going after and criticizing the CRT, it's worth it to criticize systemic Marxist racism by itself. But I hope now you see the bigger picture. Some of these people that like to be contrarians on the right, like I said, they're miles wide and inches deep. They're the worst strategists I've ever seen. And I don't know who my ire burns hotter for right now, the left or them. I really don't know. So this ongoing battle with this, the letter that was sent out, and there were a couple of parts that really gave me pause. I mean, the whole thing did, honestly. They're very vague on threats. What threats particularly? I haven't seen any threats. And you know, if there had been threats, they would have been written about. They would have made the nightly news. They would have been all over social media. The president of the United States would have spoken about them. You would have heard nothing but about these threats. You would have heard nothing but that. And you know it. And they know it. And so the memorandum that they sent out, and it's just so bizarre. And they're looking at, there's a disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against, where? Name them. Name it. Because this is the state that is abusing its power to crush dissent. This is one of the most anti-constitutional things I've ever seen in my life. I imagine, you know, the emoji, the red alarm emoji, the siren. I'm going to tell you something. I do not engage in hyperbole. In fact, I loathe it. You guys know how I feel about conspiracy theories. You guys know I hate speculation. I mean, Diogenes would be pleased of my cynicism. This is, I always look for the rational and the logical. But I'm telling you, this is a red siren moment. I really am. I think I've said that one other time in my over 10 years on radio in politics. But this goes further than anything I think I've ever seen. Because they're trying to scare anyone that considers protesting against wokery and critical race theory. And they're citing vague threats like that have never, what threats? I've never seen any threats materialize. I've never seen any threats. The only threats that I have ever seen have been against parents. The only threats that I've ever seen, for instance, have been in my town, where school board toadies put parents' names on an out-of-state funded mailer and sent it around to everybody. They sent one to every single person in our town through the mail, smearing these parents for daring to speak out. The NBC guy tried to come at me and I was like, dude, I will take you all day long. They ran this big story on our school board last summer, but there were so many parents that were appalled over what the, like, for instance, you want to know some of the stuff they were talking about doing? Just let me give you an example. They were going to create a mysterious board of who knows who, bureaucrats, that were going to monitor your students' behavior day in and day out, even on private time. Anything that's considered a microaggression, and they wrote in their actual documentation explaining their policies, whether, quote, whether consciously or subconsciously done. Anything that they could define as a, quote unquote, microaggression, if you did not use the correct pronoun, for instance, that would go on your student's permanent record. They wanted to ruin these children's lives before these children even like got out of school. They wanted to defund our school resource officer program. And here's something else to consider. We voted on that as taxpayers. We voted on that for our tax dollars. And these Marxists demanded that they get all of the money so they could go and hire diversity officers and pay people to come and monitor the CRT stuff in our school, in our school district. I am not even remotely exaggerating. I have screenshots of everything. I have every single thing that they've ever written about it. I've written about it. I've sent it to people who've written about it. Every single thing. This is what they wanted to do. And then when parents did not want to part with their taxpayer dollars that they thought they had voted on to go towards school resource officer programs, then they were called racists. One of the loudest people to speak out in our town was a Cuban father who's a veteran. Immigrated here to the United States. And he was called a racist by white women and men who are Marxists. One of the other fathers that spoke out, he's from Vietnam. He served in the military and became a citizen and opened up businesses here. But because he spoke out, he was called a white supremacist. One of the other families here, and this is what gets me, because they always say, because these people here and like the white Marxists, they were trying to use as their spokesperson a woman who doesn't even live in our town and hasn't for years. I think when I moved here in 2013, I don't think this woman lived here even. Doesn't even live in the town. And they railed against the school district, but apparently it wasn't bad enough. The older daughter of the woman wanted a job at that school district, so it must not have been that bad. But a lot of the white parents, like there was a lot of the families here that have spoken out have been incredibly diverse. In fact, the people who are leading the whole group, there's a white family, a Cuban family, and a Vietnamese family. And that's just how it happened. It wasn't, you know, no one went out and auditioned spokespeople like the critical race theorists, the institutionalized Marxist racists out there. But they were like attacking, like this Cuban father telling him he doesn't know what Marxism is. Oh my gosh. I have never seen such controlled righteous indignation in my life as when this father was explaining how the people who dared to tell him that he, as a Cuban immigrant, who fled Castro, his family had been imprisoned by Castro, that he didn't know what Marxism is. I have another friend of mine, and he and his wife are good friends of ours. His wife is from Cuba. I have some friends who live in Florida who are Venezuelan. In fact, they were involved in Parkland. And I remember one of the things that the father told me, he was like, when the gun control people came, they attacked them and smeared them, and then they pretended that they didn't exist because they wouldn't sign on to gun control. And he was like, we come from Venezuela. Have you seen what that's done to our people? The left will smear as white adjacent or just whitewash them from memory any minority that dares to challenge the Marxist agenda. That's why you don't see anybody with cameras going down to McAllen down in KURV. You don't see no cameras going down there. In fact, do you know who's leading this movement nationally? Like it's loosely unorganized. It's like Tea Party 2.0 is what it is. The people that I see speaking out are Chinese Americans, or Americans, period. They immigrated from China. Arab mothers and fathers who know what tyranny is like in the countries that they immigrated from. What have I always told you about coming to America? What is the thing that everybody centers around? It's not a religion. It is not a, it's not a, any kind of political party. It is not a race. It is, do you want to be free? That is it. It's what our founders noted too. That spirit of liberty. They came here and they became Americans. Boom, you're American. You became a citizen. You're an American. How do we know it? Because you want to be free. That's stamped onto your DNA. All the people who want to brainwash everyone want to convince them opposite. So all the parents who've been speaking out about this, Parents Defending Education, a Muslim Democrat woman runs this. They hate her. Asra Nomani, they hate her. So many of these parents that have been speaking out. And the school boards have been losing. They've been losing elections. They have been held accountable by the parents. But the school boards are corrupt. Do you know, for instance, in our town, they wouldn't have elections for a long time. They would have someone resign before they termed out so they could just reappoint someone. No joke. So corrupt. And as they were being held accountable, the school boards and the people like American Federation of Teachers, etc., decided that they needed to go in and they needed to ask, they needed to beg for help from the federal government. We need to abuse the power of the federal government. And so now this is it. There has been zero at all instances of actual violence at a school board meeting. There has been zero evidence at all whatsoever of any kind of a threat. You would have heard about it ad nauseum. So they're going to use this vague suggestion of these unnamed mysterious threats. By the way, it's not a threat unless there's a police report filed. At least that's what I was told about progressives after a progressive flew to my home and tried to break into my house to kill me and my family. And progressives were like, oh, that never happened, because they always sanction that stuff. I have police reports except in my case. So then they had to kind of shut up about it. But if that's the standard of measure that they threw down. So where are the police reports if there's so many threats? Show us the police reports. Because we know they don't exist, because neither do the threats. These are parents. These are parents who don't believe that the government owns their children, like Terry McAuliffe in Virginia said. Remember that clown? Your parents don't get a right to tell school boards. Oh, like hell they don't. This is a brawl. This is the fastest way you're going to have a brawl, too. With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
We're seeing strong movement and early action toward vaccine requirements across industries and importantly in the airlines industry. United Airlines was notably first to institute a requirement, and within 53 days, we're able to get to over 99% of its staff vaccinated. Over the weekend, we saw JetBlue, Alaska, and American Airlines step up and move forward with their own requirements. These actions are notable as they represent a significant share of our country's air travel. We know these requirements work, and by acting now, these airlines will ensure smooth implementation and create workplaces that are safer for COVID-19.
Really? With those are airlines with them trying to with their employees, and at some point they're gonna do it for domestic travel. That's coming. Just know that that's already on the table. Something Feinstein's already been pushing. So we shall see. I know the whole thing is insane. So we'll see. And this, as we were talking about before we went to break with the DOJ, and we're going to talk more about it, the state abusing its power. I mean, this is, if you're a parent and you haven't been going to the school board meetings and you haven't been pitching in and helping, I'm not quite sure what to say. Not quite sure what to say. So coming up, a couple of different conversations. There's some now, conservatives, in addition to progressives, who are saying, yes, we need a national divorce. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if that happens. We'll talk about that, because now they're pulling it. This is insane. We're going to discuss that here coming up. And we're also going to get into the latest with tech. And who's funding this? You realize that the lady who's testifying is a leftist that's donated hand over fist to leftists before too, right? Do we all know this? Maybe some people don't. Maybe they ought to. Because she has. She's donated quite a bit to leftist causes. And this is really, I'm just watching. There are people who are being completely baited to allow for a federal takeover of digital spaces. Now, there's a way to combat the use of corporations as agents of states, but giving the federal government the reins to do this is not it. We're going to talk more about that as well. So make sure that you don't miss the upcoming hour of the program. We're also going to talk to Gordon Chang about some of the latest with China, because Taiwan's leadership has been coming out saying, okay, we need some help. Maybe Australia? Stay with us.
If you love steak and barbecue like I do, you've got to try these wines from the extreme altitudes of Argentina. I'm talking about some of the most remote vineyards known to men, deep in the Andes Mountains. They're unlike any other wine you've had before. They taste rugged like the land itself. Blackberry, leather, smoke, dark cherry. Up until now, you'd have to travel thousands of miles just to get your hands on a single bottle. So you'll be one of the first Americans to ever taste them. Our friends over at Bonner Private Wines nearly died trying to find some of these remote vineyards. They're that special. Want to give them a try? Visit conservativewines.com. Today, the guys at Bonner Private Wines are giving my listeners 50% off of these special wines, plus 50% off of the shipping. No need for a promo code. My listeners get 50% off the wine and 50% off the shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com. That's conservativewines.com.
When we realized big tobacco was hiding the harms it caused, the government took action. When we figured out cars were safer with seatbelts, the government took action. And when our government learned that opioids were taking lives, the government took action. I implore you to do the same here. Today, Facebook shapes our perception of the world by choosing the information we see. Even those who don't use Facebook are impacted by the majority who do. A company with such frightening influence over so many people, over their deepest thoughts, feelings, and behavior, needs real oversight.
Here we go. All right, so welcome to the show, folks. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. I got, I have something, a piece that's working for you. And depending on if you follow me on Instagram, you can just go and read the latest. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. Is the latest there. That's where you can go and read the latest on my Instagram post with our regarding Louis. So, but I have a piece that I've been working on that is compiling all of these, some of these federal encroachments that maybe perhaps you haven't actually, because they seem like they're in the weeds, policy and regulatory wise, but they actually have a wide ranging effect. But that is the Facebook whistleblower, quote unquote whistleblower for that was at the tech hearing, the Senate hearing there with on Facebook, with big tech. And as I said earlier, I really feel like conservatives are being baited. I do. I feel like conservatives are totally being baited. And it feels like they're being baited into accepting a federal takeover of social media. I mean, really, ultimately, that's what this is. It's a federal takeover of social media. Then, what do you think, Democrats? I've sounded the alarm on this for forever. I have sounded the alarm on this forever as to how Democrats would love to regulate social media. This is why they've gone after Facebook so hard. I'm not defending Facebook, and I absolutely reject the small-minded, really remedial reasoning that standing against government takeover of social media is somehow defending Facebook. And it's weird because some of the people who allege that haven't been occasionally demonetized on Facebook as I have. Some of those people can't, if we were having a phallus measuring contest in terms of experience on this issue, these people wouldn't even be able to enter the arena. There you go. I've been routinely demonetized. I've been throttled. I've been shadow banned. I've been suspended before for nothing. So I think I kind of, if anybody has an axe to grind against social media platforms, it is moi and many other people just like me who've been in this exact same position. The problem is this: as much as I hate their politicization of their platforms and their abuse of 230, Section 230, which we'll talk about here momentarily, I hate more the idea of government running it. They're trying to set conservatives up to take this over. I've said this before. The right is being baited by the left to pave the way for a federal takeover of digital public spaces. And there are some people on the right in the commentariat who are too busy clout chasing to think critically and see the big picture. These are the people who would love this spheric victory. They're trying to make themselves king of something that's going to be a pile of ashes in the end. There's a way to combat the use of corporations as agents of states, but giving federal government the reins to do it is not the way, and I promise you conservatives will rue the day. Remember how I was against the Patriot Act and how I had a lot of Republicans that were biting my head off because I was against the Patriot Act? And we're going to talk about this. But guess what? That Patriot Act is what's allowing the Department of Justice. I swear to you, I called it, even if it was way back when. That's what's giving the Department of Justice the leeway to go after parents and redefine what is or isn't a domestic terrorist. I don't enjoy the schadenfreude of being correct, but I am correct. There's a method to my madness. And so, this situation with this whistleblower, I have to tell you too, there's a lot of things about this. I find this whole thing sketchy. If your antenna is up, it's because you're smart. It's because you know that something's up. You know. You feel it. I mean, you have this whole thing, none of it makes sense. This woman is not a whistleblower. I don't even know why I'm using this term. She's a Facebook employee who's a progressive. And she thinks that Facebook doesn't do enough to censor conservatives. She's not a whistleblower. A whistleblower exposes illegality. She's not exposing illegality. She's complaining in front of the Senate that the Senate and the government aren't doing enough to censor Facebook. Has anyone listened to anything that she said? I feel like I'm screaming into the wind. She's not a whistleblower. A friend of mine said, well, why wasn't Barry Weiss considered a whistleblower? Remember when Barry Weiss left New York Times because New York Times was so Marxist that they ran her off even? This woman is not a whistleblower. Isn't it interesting? Here you had this 60 Minutes report, and then 2 days later, magically, you had this Senate hearing all queued up. This doesn't happen just like immediately, folks. It requires planning. Don't you find that interesting? If your antenna weren't up before, are they up now? I'm curious. I think there's other things in here that's very odd. This operative, the Washington Free Beacon, has a very interesting piece. She's getting strategic communication guidance. Do you know who she's? It's like they all go to the same place when they do this. This is what I find fascinating. This Facebook employee, she was feeding all these documents to the Wall Street Journal. Interesting. Do you know that she's working with the former Obama deputy press secretary, Bill Burton? Bryson Gillette. There's two firms that everybody goes to. This is like a Sandra Flute kind of thing. This was all organized. She had her 60 Minutes interview. That was designed to kick off this media frenzy. You had the Senate hearing already lined up. Boom. This is a play in several parts. She is theater. This is Democrat theater. This is a Facebook employee who was demanding, and she was in the civic integrity division of Facebook, by the way. Although I think, as I understand it, that department doesn't even exist anymore. But back in May, her department was demanding that the federal government intervene in social media. Now, she's doing it again. She says they're like tobacco companies. Remember when I said they're trying to Joe Camel social media? They tried to do that with firearms. I have an entire chapter in my first book, Hands Off My Guns, about this strategy. The Joe Cool, the camel who smoked cigarettes. This was back when the people were going against the big tobacco, and they wanted to make Joe Cool seem anachronistic, and they were trying to toxify that marketing strategy that big tobacco used, and they wanted to do the same thing. In fact, Michael Bloomberg is quoted as saying it repeatedly. They wanted to do the same thing to firearms, and now they're trying to do the same thing with an unregulated social media. It is a marketing and PR strategy that has been used over and over again, and I detail it in excruciating detail in my first book. And that's what they're trying to do. She made that point in her testimony as planned. An advance of her testimony was sent to Reuters. And this was all organized by Barack Obama's former deputy press secretary, who works for a big, shiny PR firm in D.C. This, ladies and gentlemen, isn't just a conveniently timed former employee of Facebook who is blowing the whistle on some illegality of the company. This is a progressive employee who quit. And they would love to stoke the perception that this is an employee with an axe to grind. But in fact, she's just someone who is too far left, I guess, apparently. And Facebook's left. I've been demonetized by their people several times. But she's even further to the left than that. And she thinks the federal government should be regulating Facebook. And that's what this is all about. It is a big PR push to get the public to agree and support Democrats in Washington, D.C., their efforts to try to take control of social media. That is what all of this is about. And as I said, there are people on the right that are buying into it, and I am just mystified. None of these people should ever be trusted again. Oh, I will name them. We'll see if we lose first, if we lose this fight first. So, you know, I look at this, and like I said, my antenna goes up, your antenna should go up. They want to control everything. They want to control social media. They want to control what you inject yourself with. The FBI raided today an 11,000-member police union in New York City. This morning, they raided the offices of the Sergeants Benevolent Association. They just said it was an investigation. Okay. Interesting. And then you have the situation with the Department of Justice and the Attorney General threatening parents that criticize schools over the institutionalized Marxist racism known as CRT. They're going to use the full weight of their federal agencies and intelligence departments to go after parents that speak out. They want to chill speech. They want to control your travel. There are a number of them who are demanding a vaccine for domestic air travel. This is something that even Dianne Feinstein has been pushing. I think they have something in committee. This is after they locked down your government or your economy. Government was never locked down. This is after they locked down your economy. They arrested people for trying to pay their bills. This is after the government tried to tell people who own property that they had to allow other people to live in that property at their own expense. They were given a moratorium on eviction if they couldn't pay rent, but property owners were not given a moratorium on property taxes or mortgage payments. I'm telling you what, your antenna is up because the siren's going off. We had a lot more to come. More on this as well. You don't want to miss a single bit of it at all today. And this really, ultimately, we're going to talk to Gordon Chang a little bit later on because, geez, we still have the whole situation with China and Taiwan. That's also something we got to think about. It's insane. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion in hours as Facebook plunged. Because, can you imagine? Most of us are like, $7 billion? Like, I wouldn't even know how that even deal. What is, what? I know. That was because everything shut down yesterday. It got jacked. Parents had to actually talk to their kids. So talking to them on Facebook, they didn't know what to do. My parents didn't know what to do. It's terrifying. Let's see here. Signs of encouragement. U.S. has seen a drop in coronavirus cases and hospitalization. They're actually increasing a little bit in the north, but that's to be expected because, what did I tell you, seasonal and endemic. You have the situation where as things get cool outside, people go inside. We're in the south. Things are getting cooler and actually tolerable outside. So people are going outside more as opposed to being inside with the AC. So I really wouldn't read too much into something like that. But overall, taking that into account, cases, as The Guardian reported, have been decreasing at a pretty steady rate in the United States. Twitter mislabels as misleading the obituary of a woman who is said to have passed from blood clots related to the vaccine. And it does not matter what your own personal documented experience is. If it doesn't go with the national narrative, you are absolutely bounced. And so it was a Portland woman, and she had vaccine-related complications, reportedly, according to her entire family. She did not want to, but she had to participate as a room mom in her kid's school. So that's what ended up happening. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. There's nothing better than slipping into bed with soft, comfortable sheets at the end of a long day. Now MyPillow wants you to sleep better with their Giza Dream Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton, grown in a small area of the Mediterranean, and made into a fabric that is ultra-soft and breathable, the Giza Dream Sheets Sateen Weave gives them a luxurious finish that will have you sleeping like a dream. Available in a variety of colors and sizes, machine washable and durable, all Giza Dream Sheet sets come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a limited time, you can save 50% on all Giza Dream Sheets. Visit MyPillow.com, click the radio listener square, and use promo code Dana at checkout. Or call 800-944-4975 to get the Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $49.99. You'll also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Don't miss the sale of the year. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Dana, or call 800-944-4975. Sleep better with MyPillow.com.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome.
Listen, follow, subscribe.
The Dana Show.
What regulations or legal actions by Congress or by administrative action do you think would have the most consequence or would be feared most by Facebook, Instagram, or allied companies?
I strongly encourage reforming Section 230 to exempt decisions about algorithms, right? So modifying 230 around content, I think, has it's very complicated because user-generated content is something that companies have less control over. They have 100% control over their algorithms.
Oh, that's true. They do. They have complete and total control over those. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. You can go and subscribe to the newsletter. There's some stuff coming out there, stuff that I sent out yesterday. And make sure you go and read Instagram today, my Instagram account. So I wanted to come to this point here with Section 230 because I wrote back in June that I sometimes wonder if conservatives are being baited about this. And I think that there's a very narrow path to walk, but there is a way to prevent the use of digital platforms like this that want to really use these corporations as agents of state. And when the whole debate began, I was actually surprised at the number of people who wanted to repeal the Communications Decency Act. Now, let me just give you a quick primer on 230. I wrote something about this. I'll link this again. But so way back when, do you guys remember the whole Wolf of Wall Street firm, Stratton Oakmont, where they picked this really pretentious name to make it sound like it was like this legacy kind of firm? So back, this is like an old bit of internet-based law from 1994, and it came out of a lawsuit against Prodigy, which was an old ISP from the mid-90s, and it was a suit filed by that firm, Wolf of Wall Street firm, Stratton Oakmont, and the suit was filed after an internet troll on Prodigy's, one of their old message boards, accused Stratton Oakmont of criminal activities. Now, under 47 U.S.C. 230, entities that are like message boards or website comment sections, they could moderate for any kind of not protected speech, right? Anything that was illegal or just not protected, like any, you know, child pornography is not considered, that's illegal. That's a crime. That's not free expression. That's disgusting criminality. And so I use that because there's, you know, you have slibel. Actually, that's, I like that, slander, libel. You have libel, you have defamation, etc. And the thing is that message boards can moderate that content without rising to the legal classification of what is considered a publisher. So, and the word platform, nothing like that is ever mentioned in Section 230. And this is where this old bit of law gets really misrepresented. You have what is discussed as publishing. This is what it says. It says it's a protection for Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive material. Now, what this did is it said if you are a website proprietor, if you run a website and you have comments, or if you control the comment section, like for instance, YouTube comments, or anything like that, that anything that is considered not unprotected speech, you may remove that without being considered a publisher, like a newspaper or a magazine or something like that. Because if you are, like for instance, the New York Times, you have an obligation, you have a certain obligation where it concerns the publication of material. And the other thing is that the New York Times, because it is active in the selection of what is published and what isn't, the editorialization, they can also be held responsible in court if, say, there is unprotected speech that is able to, you know, go through. And so what this protection for Good Samaritan blocking and screening of offensive material does is that people who run websites, maybe you have like a million comments. Like, for instance, sometimes I can't even follow the comments on Facebook. I try to get in and talk to people. I would lose hours because I also get distracted. And I same thing for Instagram and everything else. You know, I go in when I can. And if this was a website that, you know, like was my name or even the way Instagram and all that is now, it's almost impossible. And so one of the problems is that because there would be too many for someone to actually go through, that could actually end up catching you in some kind of litigation without this. And you could be held responsible for something that you didn't even see and you just hadn't had a chance to get to and remove or moderate. And so what this protection does is it protects those people because they're not publishers. They're just facilitators of content providing or content sharing. So that's the subsection two with this. The civil liability, it says no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall, and that you all need to know this where it concerns speech in the digital space. So please learn this. No provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be held liable on account of A, any action voluntarily taken in good faith to restrict access to or availability of material that the provider or user considers to be obscene, lewd, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, or any action taken to enable to make available information content to information content providers or others the technical means to restrict access to material described in the above paragraph. So that means that entities can facilitate discussion and they can host them, but they cannot be considered publishers if they're not in the gate, if they're not engaged in the action of moderating or editing or curating beyond that Good Samaritan protection offered by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Does that make sense? And so from this case, from this, the Wolf of Wall Street case against Prodigy, that's where this came out. And it illustrates why it's incredibly important to remember that words have definitions, especially in an era where people who want to control speech really work hard to redefine the words for their agenda, right? So today, the left promotes that speech itself is a form of violence, that belief in God is hate, that biological men can be women, and that every single challenge to leftist thought is literally Hitler. When you diminish resolute fact in favor of merciless public opinion, the changes to society are monumental. And it has absolutely, completely robbed us of any ability to have any kind of real conversation. And it's muddled our society's ability to judge the offensive from the inoffensive. So like what one person recognizes as a statement on biology, somebody else perceives as a cancelable offense. And so I actually think, and the reason why I bring this up, how you adjudicate fact from opinion in this environment is because this is a huge argument in favor of protecting Section 230. I will fight you to my knuckles are exposed to bone in repealing it. But I am in favor of defining, for the purpose of clarity, the concept of editorialization. Because algorithms Well, that's a function of editing. So instead of just going into the comment section and removing someone's post, now you can have algorithms that automatically weed things out, correct? It's the same as post curation. So I really think that we have to avoid a very anachronistic circumstance as a litmus test for the law. We don't say that speech that's typed through a computer is any less protected because computers and typewriters didn't exist during the days of the founders, right? So I don't think that we should hold the task of editorialization hostage to such a rule either. Does that make sense? And more than this, it's not just a conservative appeal to government to solve a private sector issue. You're inviting the government to expand its authority when you do this. Why demand that the government remove all protections from all entities and leaving everybody at the mercy of comment section trolls and hyper litigious sorts when you can just modify the definition to establish algorithms as a form of editorialization? Because look, this is where the law is not exactly completely precise because technology. But if you are consistent and you follow logic, then it is very easy. It's night and day. This is not rocket science. Why should Jack Dorsey get a pass for editorializing through algorithms on Twitter? Why should Mark Zuckerberg get a pass for editorializing through algorithms on Facebook? But the editor of the Washington Free Beacon or the editor Ben Domenech, my friend Ben Domenech at the Federalist, why should they be held to a higher account than Jack Dorsey or Mark Zuckerberg, who absolutely do curate topics, not just based on news, but based on their own preferences and presented as such on their website? Because that is publishing. But yet they do not have to meet the same legal requirements. And all I'm saying is that you just redefine and include algorithms as a form of editorializing. I'm not saying suppress Twitter or Facebook. But if you're going to sit here and lie to me that they don't engage in editorialization because you're really sitting here telling me that the stuff that appears in the sidebar or trends is popular, that that's completely, entirely organic? Because it's not. What this does is give that a pass. I think people need to redefine what their perception, and this is where I think some people's idea of what is editing is outdated. Because algorithms, this is a form of editing. So this is incredibly important. And I think people need to understand this concept. Now, I want to point out, too, that this Frances Haugen, this chick who's talking about Facebook, she's not a whistleblower. She is not a whistleblower any more than parents are terrorists for disagreeing with CRT and the school boards. She is not exposing Facebook and any kind of illegal activity. And I'll say this again. I want to slap the people. Maybe not rhetorically. It makes me want to slap people when I hear somebody go, well, because you're disagreeing that Facebook isn't engaged in criminality, you're sticking up for Facebook. Oh my gosh. That's honestly what some people are saying. I'm saying she's not a whistleblower because Facebook's not engaged in any kind of illegality. You're getting played by the left and you're too stupid to know, the people who argue this. No, what this is Facebook is just engaged. Right now, it's protected by Section 230. You include algorithms and editing of algorithms and inorganic curation as a form of editing, and boom, you can't have this anymore. She's wanting more than that, though. She thinks that the federal government should actually oversee this and they should regulate it like a public utility. And so I think, like I said, there is a way. And it's already been laid out for us. There is absolutely a way to push back against digital operators as being used as corporate agents of state without ceding control of social media over to the government. And the left's play here is that you're too dumb to realize this. The left's proposition to you is that the only way to solve this is to give complete control of the social media and the digital square, to give control over to the government. And that's wrong. It's wrong. And so there you have it. We have more to come. And I know you don't want to miss any of it because I got a lot more. We're also going to get into some of the latest with China. Taiwan's president sent a dire warning to China after days of record-breaking military incursions from Chinese jets into Taiwanese airspace. We're going to talk about this. We got a whole bunch of other stuff as well. Wokery. So there was a someone was fired because of Shakespeare's Othello. We're going to talk about that as well. You don't want to miss it. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I feel like Leia right now when she was trying to get Obi-Wan to come and help them because they were under attack by the Empire, and she was like, "Help us, Obi-Wan. You're our only hope." And I was like, "Help us, Florida Man. You're our only hope." I'm telling you. Okay, so I've never seen a mugshot like this before in my life. This man, he's like, "Yeah, I did it." What? That's literally what his face says in this photo. Gemini, this comes from NBC. This is a Channel 2 in Florida, Fort Myers. A Florida man was sentenced to 22 years and 6 months in the federal prison Monday after he was accused of trying to mail illegal drugs to his home. Bradley Carter. I know. You guys, you can't do this. He tried to have a pound of meth shipped to his home in Fort Myers. Now, investigators said he is a previously convicted felon, and he tried to knowingly, of course he did knowingly, attempt to ship the package via priority mail. Now, when they searched his home, oh, they found all kinds of stuff. They uncovered even more meth, fentanyl, all kinds of the drugs that kill everybody, cocaine, and drugs are bad, okay? But like the super serious, what is it, where they have it, like an ounce can kill like a whole town, like something like that. And some stuff I can't say the name of. And because he's also a repeat offender, he had a firearm that he was using with drug trafficking. So he's in total trouble. And he's got the skinniest neck about anybody I've ever seen. Super narrow jaw and skinny neck. Like his head disappears into his chest. It's the oddest thing I've ever seen in my life. If you just erase the line of his chin, he looks like a thumb. He does. I don't know how to say it. Let's see here. I don't know if I can read this one. Florida woman exposes herself to other drivers on the highway. I don't know how. Oh, goodness. Lee County, Florida. Of course it is. God bless America. It's caught on camera as well. Oh, boy. So the Florida Highway Patrol, the woman was caught on camera exposing her chesticle region to other drivers on I-75 in Collier County. And she just basically pulled her shirt up over her head to do it. And they're looking for it because apparently the driving was dangerous. I guess it was some road rage stuff. Let's maybe not do that, people. And a man was bitten, according to CBS 4 in Miami. A man was bitten by a shark off South Florida Beach. He's in the shark's house. Lifeguards at a popular South Florida beach, they're saying, be extra vigilant. A shark bit a dude in his left lower leg while at Jensen Beach Park. He was taken to a hospital. We don't know about the extent of his injuries, but that's the sixth attack on the Treasure Coast so far this year. Sharks are hungry. Just know you're in the shark's house. Stick with us because we've got more to come. More of The Dana Show coming up after this. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Today, the call has gone out to everyone in home quarantine in Victoria to take part of our pilot program. And what that means is that they will receive random phone calls and they have to answer within 5 minutes with a selfie sent to this app, which will then geo-track where that person is and to make sure that they are who they say they are as well. If they don't answer within that five-minute period, that's when health officers come knocking.
That's insane. This is the craziest stuff I've ever heard. Yeah, health. What the hell's a health officer? That's in Melbourne, Australia. What's a health officer?
I think it's just police.
It's like fake police. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure to download the Odyssey app so you can listen to the show that you're listening to right now. If you want to listen to it twice, a different way. Every day, 12 to 3 Eastern. And no apologies on the first 5 Central, 6 Eastern. I can't imagine. You imagine having to download an app on your phone and then sending a selfie of yourself to the government. I would abuse that so bad.
I know.
If you asked me to violate my constitutional rights and play stupid games, you're going to win stupid prizes. I would so abuse this. I'd troll them for like a crazy amount. Okay. I would totally do that. That's what I do to scammers. You ever have a scammer text you?
Oh yeah.
They literally have an app called CatFax. You can just bomb that person's. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I actually did this. Hold up. I don't know. Can I say this? I say I'm doing it anyway. I'm going. I think I may have deleted it. But I bombed them with cat facts. I don't even like cats. But I have a lot of cat facts. Just saying. So, sign them up for cat facts. That's the Melbourne app pilot program, random phone call. Sign that number up for fun stuff. You get that random phone call with the health officer?
Yep.
The hell's a health officer? I don't know what a health officer is. I don't know what that is, a health officer. Okay, there you go. All right, so this is kind of a weird, this is nuts. We've got, we've been talking about everything. We're going to talk with Gordon Chang here coming up about China, but we've been discussing the ongoing Facebook hearing. That's not a whistleblower who's speaking. This is all a theatrical setup by the Democrat Party to bait you into supporting the takeover of social media by the federal government. Just, it's interesting. 2 days after that 60 Minutes piece ran, then they just conveniently had a Senate hearing all queued up. No one believes that all happened coincidentally. And that woman, she's a far leftist. She's actually in favor of Facebook being regulated further by the government. And I have to say, I think I get so angry when people are saying that, I guess you're just saying that everything that Facebook does is okay because, you know, you disagree with her. No, I think that's stupid. No. Anybody who's ever listened to me, I don't want the federal government running it. If you don't like a corporation acting as an unofficial agent of the state, why would you make official the relationship? Why? Dumbest thing I've ever heard. And there are some concern, and I'm tired of conservatives saying that she's a whistleblower. She's not. She's represented by a suit. Barack Obama's deputy press secretary is his PR firm. Just stop it. This is all about takeover. That's what it is. takeover of, you got Dianne Feinstein, who is trying to push vax passes for domestic air travel. Do I get a refund on my tax dollars that bailed out the airlines asking for a friend?
Yeah.
So you got that. You got the Justice Department that says parents are domestic terrorists. See, this is the problem with the Patriot Act and the definition of the, and redefining what is a domestic terrorist, because this is what the DOJ is doing. The DOJ is doing this, and they have the loophole to do it through this. They're redefining what is or isn't a domestic terrorist and mobilizing the FBI. They won't call, Merrick Garland wouldn't call Antifa terrorists, but he's going to call parents who disagree with the school board's desire to implement institutionalized Marxist racism. They're going to call those parents terrorists. I have a major problem with that. The Patriot Act redefined what is and isn't a domestic terrorist. And now that's being obliterated even more. This is where words have meanings. They used it for 2A stuff. I've written about this a million times before. There's a statutory definition in the U.S. Code that actually defines what a domestic terrorist is. It means activities that, quote, A, involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or any state, B, appear to be intended. Subsection, to intimidate or coerce the civilian population, to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion, to affect conduct of government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. C, occur primarily within the territorial jurisdiction of the United States. I have to say, trying to intimidate or coerce the civilian population to get injected totally sounds like domestic terrorism to me, according to the statutory definition in U.S. Code. Gots to say. I mean, remember Merrick Garland when he would not even say that the Democrat assassination attempt on a bunch of congressional Republicans on a ball field in 2017 that nearly murdered Steve Scalise? Garland would not even target that as domestic terrorism. But if you're a parent who objects to systemic institutionalized Marxist racism being implemented as a false curriculum in your children's school, then you're considered a domestic terrorist. Now, they said they thought it was suicide by cop. I can't even make this stuff up the way they tried to do this. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. They actually tried to say that it was suicide by cop, even though there was a list of Republican congressional members and a rambling diatribe about healthcare stuff. That's a federal agency. But if you're a parent, that's domestic terrorism to try to be involved in your child's school. Terry McAuliffe out in Virginia thinks that you don't have a right to do that at all. Garland has been really trying to extend his jurisdiction based on the redefinition of that term. I'll put it like that. And this has been, I'm so glad that he actually never ended up in the Supreme Court. He actually tried to cite domestic terrorism in defending the budget to House lawmakers back in May. Is that not something? And he's trying to basically go along, trying to redefine what the statutory definition is. And he's done his. It's rhetorical warfare is what it is. And by mobilizing the FBI, throwing the full weight of all these federal intelligence agencies, everything that, remember, it was everything that you don't like is racist. Well, now CRT is obliterating that. So now everything that they dislike is domestic terrorism. Did I not tell you that this was dangerous when they were trying to say that, trying to argue about when they were going with no-fly lists? Remember? And I was saying you can't, because they were saying, oh, well, terrorists on the no-fly list can buy guns. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. If something is serious enough to remove from that person their constitutional rights, if it's a serious enough offense, then our Constitution, our U.S. Code, demands that they receive due process, which is a constitutional right. If it is serious enough to remove from someone a right, and the thing with the no-fly list at the time, I said, because you have the domestic terror watch list, you have a no-fly list, there's different types of lists. The no-fly list in that, you don't even know how you can get on it. I mean, there have been studies, and a lot of constitutional attorneys, even some far-left ones, are a little worried about it. And even the ACLU, for crying out loud, has objected to this. Because people don't know how they get on it. And then once you get on it, it's impossible to get off of it. You have to spend a lot of money to get off of it. And I mean, they had John Lewis, the late John Lewis, Congress member, civil rights activist. He was on this list because his name was too similar to an actual criminal whose name was John Lewis. And that's the other thing. They put these people's names on here and they only go like by first and last name. Social security numbers are not included, etc. So it makes it to where it's like highly, highly inaccurate. And my whole thing with this, and this was something else that they were pushing within the context of the Patriot Act. I did not like the Patriot Act because I don't like giving the government a lot of power that it can easily abuse and redefine. And that's what this was. And they have been trying to redefine what this is for such a long time. This is a state abuse of power. It's an extension of this administration going after parents. Now, I have to tell you this as well. I have a couple of stories here. So there were some, I'll be quick because I know we got to get moving. So there were some news anchors who got in trouble the other day. And by trouble, they got fired. It was two white Arkansas news anchors that were fired after they were celebrating the temperatures finally dropping into the 70s. And so they decided to like do 70s, I guess, type wear. And they wore Afro wigs on air in Little Rock, KATV. And it was the part of their return to the 70s segment. And they were supposed to sport popular looks from the 1970s to celebrate the temperature dropping. And they wore, now the wigs that they wore, one of them is just a curly short hair. I don't even necessarily, it looks like Bob Ross's hair. Right. So I'm not quite sure what, I don't understand that. I don't get that part. And they said that it was abhorrent and juvenile, so they fired them. Some, I guess, like wore bell bottoms or something like that. But yeah, two of the individuals, they look like, I mean, it's a wig and they look like they have Bob Ross hair. Bob Ross, right? By the way, do you remember like perms for everybody were like really big back in the 80s and 90s? Everybody had perms. My mom got me a perm. It was ridiculous. I'm just saying. So yeah, they fired them. I think that's ridiculous, especially when I look at the wig. It looks like, it's like, that's, I don't know. This is where we are.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, what a crazy, busy day. All right, so New Zealand's Olympic trans weightlifter has been declared Sportswoman of the Year. The man named Laurel Hubbard, he identifies as a female, and he has been declared by New Zealand's University of Otago as being Sportswoman of the Year, despite being a man, going through puberty as a man, and even competing as a man up until just a few years ago. So, patriarchy much? Anybody? California is a big winner in Powerball. So I was wondering why it was trending when I woke up this morning, because it's like $699.8 million Powerball jackpot. And they said that they had 40 drawings. A single ticket sold in California matched all six numbers. It's almost, woo, that's almost $700 million. But guess how much in tax they're probably going to have to pay? I don't even want to, you got to, somebody's got to pay taxes on that. What's the tax? What's the state tax for California? What is that? It's going to be over half of it. The government's going to get over half of this. And they won't have done anything. Of course, the person winning doesn't. This is where I get mad. I'm like, government had no right to that. Y'all didn't win that. Y'all didn't buy that ticket. Government won the lottery too, guys. They could, they're going to split it with a person. That person's going to be lucky to walk away with less than 300. They will, seriously. They said that it was the first jackpot won since August. That's crazy. Good heavens. We never buy lottery tickets like my parents did. Chris, his own personal belief is that playing the lottery is a tax on stupidity. I'm like, you wouldn't think that if you won, though, would you? Anyway, CBS banned Katie Couric from promoting her book on their network. And she had this little catty little book. It's supposed, she like burned all the bridges. I guess she went, realized I'll just go out in book sales since I'm not on air really anymore. And Francis Catholic Church, the sexual abuse of minors inquiry, they discovered over 200,000 victims in the span of several decades. This is awful. Stick with us. Gordon Chang up next.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
Defense of Taiwan is in our own hands, and we are absolutely committed to that. And if China is going to launch a war against Taiwan, we will fight to the end, and that is our commitment. And of course, during this period of time, we would like to exchange with other countries for security cooperation, and we would like to engage in security or intelligence exchanges with other like-minded partners, Australia included, so that Taiwan is better prepared to deal with the war situation. And so far, our relations with Australia is very good, and that is what we appreciate it for.
So that is Taiwan's Foreign Minister Joseph Wu just yesterday saying that Taiwan was preparing for conflict and would, quote, fight to the end if China was to attack. And he was telling this to Australian press, just a number of press outlets, which is good. And they've been very aggressive in their messaging on this, a lot more so, sadly, than we have seen from the President of the United States. Welcome back to the radio program. I'm Dana Lash, and don't forget you can watch the simulcast also of their nationally syndicated radio show on the first. And joining us right now, we love having him on because he has such a great perspective on this. Our very good friend Gordon Chang, who is a foreign policy expert, and of course having lived in Hong Kong and knowing in and out everything that's related to China and of course this part of our foreign policy and geopolitical arena. He's been in demand lately because of everything that's been happening. Of course, best-selling author as well. Gordon Chang, always such a pleasure to have you. So good to see you again. And I wanted to ask your thought. I thought it was very interesting that Joseph Wu and Taiwan are making overtures to Australia to get some of Australia's help. And I'm wondering if this is partly because maybe they were a little bit disappointed in the kind of the toothless sort of response that the administration kind of sent out, like, oh, well, China, if you don't stop these repeated military incursions in Taiwanese airspace, we're not going to like it. I mean, how many missives have they sent like that before? So now you have the foreign minister of Taiwan, Joseph Wu, appealing to Australia. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, these comments from Joseph Wu really took me by surprise because normally, Taiwan is just sort of sloughs off Chinese provocations. This time, however, we've seen two statements. There's the one from Joseph Wu to ABC News in Australia. The other was Tsai Ing-wen, the president in foreign affairs. She talks about the catastrophic consequences that could occur or will occur if China takes over Taiwan. And it's important that she said that in the United States because there are a number of people in our country who don't understand the significance of Taiwan. And clearly the statement from our State Department on Sunday and the comments from Jen Psaki yesterday were a little milquetoast.
Just a little bit. Yeah,
Just a little bit.
You're very generous in your description of that. I noticed. And I think that there were some members of the press that were a little bit taken aback by that as well, because this is, I mean, very much so increased aggression from China. I mean, they, what was it on Monday? 56 of their jets alone into Taiwanese airspace. That's and they started doing this on Friday. So it's a huge increase in normally what they do.
Yeah. Friday was actually a record. Friday was China's National Day, 72nd anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic. And that set a record of 38. Then you have Saturday, 39. These guys took a breather on Sunday. It was only 16, but it was 56 on Monday. And it is not just the number of planes. It's also that they've been continuing to send their nuclear-capable H-6K bombers. They're sort of like our B-52s. Mm-hmm. So that is a message. And the United States needs to not only have words. You know, words are fine. But the point is, we need to be sending our B-52s close to Taiwan as a warning to Beijing, because they need to see some resolve. They have seen the Biden administration basically soften its China policies after the fall of Kabul. And Beijing, I'm sure, is sort of chortling about what's going on.
They seem to be, it seems like they're emboldening, and we're speaking with Gordon Chang. It seems as though the emboldening of China was fast-tracked after the fall of Kabul, because they noticed this and they realized this is our golden opportunity. Because it just seemed to me, from my perspective, and I could be incorrect on this, it just seemed to change dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, after the fall of Kabul, there was one good thing, and that was the announcement of AUKUS, the Australia-UK-US security pact. But there was one really bad thing, and that was our friend John Kerry giving his interview to David Westin of Bloomberg News saying, oh, you know, United States, we don't care about human rights. We need to get a climate deal. The thing that Beijing, you know, one could say whatever one wants to about the Uyghurs. Personally, I'm not in favor of mass rape, slavery, organ harvesting, and mass killing. But even if John Kerry doesn't care about those things, and apparently he doesn't, the question that the American people need to ask Kerry is, what else are you willing to give up to get a climate deal? Are you willing to jeopardize the security of the United States because you want to have an enhanced arrangement with Beijing?
And that's ultimately what this is. Talking with foreign policy expert Gordon Chang. You've seen him on Fox, and he's a New York Times bestselling author as well. Gordon, with this too, the climate deal, for, and it's so weird that I'm right with you. I thought John Kerry's statement was so odd, especially given what China controls in that particular, the green energy market. I mean, we would be paying more to fund aggression and hostilities, not just against us, but also Taiwan. I am mystified by this. Why Washington, D.C. still pursues this?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I hope, and I don't know the Biden team, but I do hope there are people there who understand that John Kerry is out by himself. But I'm not exactly sure about that because, you know, we have seen since Kerry made those comments, we have seen basically the Biden administration go even softer. So, for instance, Catherine Tsai, who is generally got the right ideas, she talked about the phase one trade deal yesterday. And basically, she just sort of flopped. This really was something that Beijing wanted to hear. I mean, it gets into the weeds on trade stuff, but the point is Beijing was probably pretty happy after she stopped speaking.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine. But I was reading about that. I would imagine that as well. Incredibly soft on this. And that to me, I think that encourages them further. Gordon, let me ask you this. What I think now, obviously, you know, AUKUS, I think that was a step in the right direction. Although I like peace through strength. I like avoiding conflict by knowing that if conflict was engaged, any opposition would be turned to glass, essentially. The problem in the Pacific, and of course, the United States focused for so long in the Middle East, I feel like we're playing catch up in the Pacific now as a result of this. But what can be done to avert a hot conflict? What can be done at this point to avert this from escalating further?
Well, the thing that I would do is, first of all, I would put an Arleigh Burke destroyer or two, and I would have it make port calls in Taiwan. Mm-hmm. I would send a couple C-17s with the Marines or Army just as a tripwire. But most important, Dana, I would have the President of the United States do two things. First of all, from the Oval Office, publicly warn the Chinese. Second of all, I would extend an invitation to Taipei that if they wanted a mutual defense treaty, that we would be willing to do that. And the reason is, you know, China, people will say this is provocative. And in a sense, I can understand the argument. But the point is, we have had atrocious Taiwan policies now for about three decades, and every avenue that leads out of today is exceedingly dangerous. So we might as well be strong, because if we're strong, we have a chance of getting out of this without conflict. But what we have seen with Biden, this is really getting dangerous, because the Chinese are starting to think that they can do something.
And the Taiwanese have expressed a willingness to fight. They will fight for their freedom. I mean, their leaders have been very aggressive, especially as of late. We were just talking about Joseph Wu in pushing back and calling out China for what they were doing. And that was always a criticism that this administration had with Afghanistan. And but yet everything that they poured into Afghanistan to nation build there. But yet here's a nation that this isn't a nation building issue. This is a people that want, that will fight for themselves, and 26 million some odd strong. And it's amazing that consistency disappears whenever the administration, what do they have against Taiwan? I mean, that's ultimately the question I come to.
Well, you know, this is, I think, a product, it's not just Biden. It's a product of a series of American administrations that have misperceived what's going on. People in Taiwan, they don't think of themselves as Chinese. Mm-hmm. When you start to look at the self-identification surveys, you see anywhere between 67 to 83% of the people believe that they're Taiwanese only. And consistently, we see that the number of people who think of themselves as Chinese only is below 5%, consistently below 5%. And we have seen surveys recently that have said that the people in Taiwan, they want to fight to protect themselves because, you know, culture trumps almost everything else. And people there don't see themselves as Chinese. So what we need to do is recognize that Taiwan is integral to our security. And there's a lot of conversation about that. Also that we cannot allow to lose any country in the free world, especially after the fall of Kabul, because our allies are already disheartened.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Last quick question, talking with Gordon Chang. So now that Taiwan has responded to the incursions into their airspace by China, what do you anticipate? What's the response from China going to be?
We're going to find out on October 10th, which is Taiwan's National Day. Ooh. And I expect, and I'm always wrong about these things, Dana, but I expect to see Chinese flights not just slicing through Taiwan's air defense identification zone, which is what they've done, but to actually circle around the island. And probably they'll do that with their Navy as well as with their Air Force. So this would be a big show of force. Now, as I said, I'm not really good at predicting what Beijing will do, but that would be the next logical step, given the progression that has occurred over the weekend.
Exactly. And knowing that they really wouldn't get any pushback from D.C. at this point. Gordon Chang, always appreciate it, my friend Gordon. Thank you so much. Good to see you.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. So a couple of things. This, I don't know if you guys heard this, but there was this piece that was done by, it was written by a guy named Sammy Sussman. And it said 3 weeks ago, he and his classmates were shown a blackface video in class without warning or discussion. Our semester was supposed to be spent analyzing Othello from Shakespeare to give an overall sense of how to form an opera libretto, blah, 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 theater stuff. And so what they did is they showed this 1965 National Theater Company production in which Laurence Olivier covers his face in black makeup and adopts a deeper, lower voice. He writes that is reminiscent of American minstrelsy. He plays Othello in blackface. The consequence is that he, you know, the insensitivity. And they said the New York Times wrote about it in 1966. And so this professor decided to show it in the class in 2021. Well, the class meetings were canceled. They got all these emails from administrators and department, faculty, etc. And he writes, I know I should be more outraged that we were shown the video, and I should be angry about his apology, the professor's apology. And they said that there is an overwhelmingly homogenous industry operating by its own set of rules in classical music, I guess. And basically their perspective, I think, is a little bit different maybe than mine, where I'm like, well, I don't think it's on purpose, exclusion in classical. We've talked about this before. But the thing is, so the teacher's like in major trouble with this, and they were apparently wanting to look specifically at Laurence Olivier's performance and have discussions about it, but you can't even, and it wasn't a way to legitimize it or glorify it or anything. Like, it was because of a conversation about what he did as his performance. And apparently, nuance is dead. It's dead. I just don't know how else to say it. No wonder no one wants to have any discussions or even say anything, you know, controversial or anything at all anymore. And Othello, if you didn't know, it was described as a Moorish general in the Venetian army. So Laurence Olivier thought he was, I guess, being more in tune to the character. I don't know. It looks ridiculous. When you look back, you're like, what in the world? If you look at it. And the New York Times at the time, they wrote in 1966, the screen, the minstrel show Othello, radical makeup marks Olivier's interpretation. And they said it was blackface, that's what they called it at the time. Now, this was in 1966. And so this professor showed this in class because they were looking at his performance in this. But that was not allowed. So you couldn't even look at the performance of it while also acknowledging that it was silly looking. And at the same time, too, and looking at this, I mean, he was just... I mean, I don't know. Isn't he dead, Laurence Olivier? I don't know who Laurence... I mean, I know who he is. He was in Hitchcock's Rebecca, too, wasn't he? Yeah. But I'm pretty sure... I don't know what his thoughts on racial harmony or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure he probably wasn't doing it to, like, make fun of minorities, right? I would imagine. He was doing a performance because Othello was supposed to be this Moorish general in the Venetian army, right?
You'd have to know what was in his heart and head.
It's a good thing everyone's an expert, Kane.
Right. They don't know it, but they're assuming.
If only Laurence Olivier had been governor of Virginia. Dang. Then it would have been okay. He'd get a pass. If he came out and said, I know it's only in the future, but if I were a Democrat governor of Virginia, this would be acceptable. It would be. Notice how people never said nothing about when, what's his face? Blackface of Bortham. I honestly don't even know his name anymore. Ralph Bortham? No. Northam. No. I swear to you, I've said that so many times, I can't. Anyway, there you have it. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, don't you love it when millionaires and billionaires tell you that they love to pay more tax?
And they don't.
And they don't, because there's literally a little line on the form when you file
your
taxes.
They need to have the government make them do it. That's what they want.
Mark Cuban's out there saying it again.
What is this?
I don't have a problem paying more taxes, whether it's business or personal. We've been at 39.7% before, and that's fine by me. We've been higher than 25% for corporate. That's fine by me. I'm good either way. Am I happy, you know, with the way the government spends it all the time? No, but that's a different topic. In terms of taxing unrealized gains, I think that would be a disaster.
Because you're wasting your money. It's not a different topic. It's still the same topic.
So if you feel like you want to send more tax, go ahead and send more tax.
Why he's like, I can't pay more money to the Treasury unless the government forces everyone else to also. It's dumb. Folks, that does it for us today. I think I'm going to be on Fox later this evening. Just watch Facebook and I'll update there. Have a great night. Pray for our Louie.